Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan. That is, and you will be hearing him all night, a CD called The Best of Siegel Schwall. If you don't know who Siegel is, it's Corky Siegel. And Corky has, I will tell you later in the show, it's like a multi-Corky Siegel October. He's performing Saturday, Sunday, next Saturday, next Sunday, Tuesday, a week from Tuesday, a week from Wednesday, and 2 weeks from Friday. I'll tell you where, but he is a Chicago treasure. You can add to that pile of treasures my new pal. We have crossed paths here and there, but thanks to our mutual friend Dennis Foley, Dennis is like turned into like an entrepreneur. He's a movie maker. He's a publisher. He's a writer. He's a Streets and Sand man.
He's a shaker, man.
Yeah, that is the voice of Patricia Ann McNair, otherwise known as Patty, whose collection of essays titled And These Are the Good Times is, to my mind, an astonishing read. It is honest. It is fun. It is insightful. It is very Chicago. Is that complimentary enough? What do you think? That's enough, Rick. I'm done.
I'm sort of verklempt over here. Done.
Well, don't be verklempt. It's a really honest gathering. And you had a previous collection, which I will soon be reading, of short stories. What's the difference? Many of these read to me, Patty, like a great short story. And that line, I think, sometimes between essay and short story can be pretty creatively thin, can it?
I think, yeah, absolutely. For me, story is at the heart of pretty much everything I write. And I think that that's essential to what I do, whether I'm doing nonfiction or fiction. Perhaps it's partly from my training. As you know, I went to Columbia College Chicago and trained
under the best, John Schultz, yeah, and Betty Shiflett and the great Randy Albers.
Right, story workshop method. So we were taught to look for this story and then see what you can find.
What you're a real Chicago kid. What drew you to Columbia and writing? When you went to Columbia, it was in the full flower of its writing prestige and joyful writing scene.
It was. And what drew me there, actually, I went to Columbia, believe it or not, to be a radio major. That was my original
intention.
That's
ridiculous. There's no money in this. That's crazy. There's no money in this. There's no creativity in this. It just beats people up and spits them out. What did you want to do on radio?
I wanted to just be a DJ or have a talk show or something. You know, I didn't quite know exactly what I wanted to do, but I really liked the whole... Back then, everything was really hands-on. I got to move discs and do all sorts of cool things. You know, it was before carts. And,
sure.
Because I'm old.
Sure.
So,
sure. What dissuaded you?
I knew that things were changing very quickly and that there were other people who were probably hungrier than I was to do it.
But was it, did you want to do it as a means of self-expression? I mean, to sort of you have a microphone in front of you. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. I think to some extent it was that. I think probably part of what made me want to do radio is the same thing that made me ultimately know that I really wanted to be a writer. And I had been writing all along, but it was... kind of like to hear my own voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So I found myself I had to take a writing class at Columbia back in the day. There was a writing class component for the requirements, and I fell in love and didn't turn back.
And now you teach there.
And now I teach there.
You've been teaching there for some time.
For a long time.
I'm going to read. This is a collection of their essays. Can I call them, Betty, memoir-like essays, or if you had to, they're on all manner of different topics. I mean, a lot of it about your dad, we'll talk about his FBI file. A lot of it about you. You moved around a great deal in your life, and that it wasn't wanderlust as much as it was just curiosity. I get the feeling from reading this book.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've lived in Chicago and close to Chicago most of my life.
Right.
Right now I live about 2 miles from where I was born. And But I like to take trips. I like to go places. I went to Iowa for a while and lived there for a while, and I've had opportunities to teach overseas and different places. And I think that it's a little bit of a wanderlust thing.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to Maine East.
Maine East.
Yep. Park Ridge.
I'm just thinking there's some famous, who's the most famous writer to go to Maine East?
Most famous writer? Me, I think. No,
yeah, I think,
I don't,
yeah,
no,
let's
I'm
call
kidding.
It you.
But Harrison Ford went there.
That's right.
So, and other people.
Harrison Ford, who seems barely able to speak. Here is how Patricia Ann McNair, in her gathering of essays, And These Are the Good Times, captures a hot Chicago night. All right, those of you, I know I have a lot of, you know, dyed-in-the-wool Chicagoans here listening. Listen to this and tell me this doesn't ring so true. It was a kind of Chicago summer evening when the air hangs thick and unmoving and the sun takes its own sweet time going down. That kind of bright, hot, early night that you're grateful to get out of, even if it's to be inside a bar with no air conditioning. That's a great, great couple of sentences.
Thank you. It sounds great in your voice.
Well, you know, smoke and drink for all these years, you can do the best. You write a lot about, in the book, taverns and bars and jukeboxes. This first, the first of these essays, the title essay, And These Are the Good Times, is stunning. It's stunning and sensitive, and it's about your dad, and it's about life, and it's about death, and it's about jukeboxes, and it's about dancing. Taverns and bars are an important part, not only of this book, but of obviously then of your life. Do you see them as you know, Eugene O'Neill saw them as kind of a wonderful, you know, theatrical sets. There is something in them that lends itself to writing.
Yeah, there definitely is. It's a place where people tell stories. And so there's so much of that. You meet people and you tell them your story, or you listen to theirs. We used to have a house in Mount Carroll, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and we'd go into to taverns there occasionally, and there would be an old farmer who wanted, you know, he'd ask who you were, and then he'd tell you that his dad was the first Baptist preacher in town, and you'd start to hear that story. And there's just something almost, there's something so comfortable in them, particularly the ones where the music isn't too loud, and the lights aren't too bright. And
well, I think it goes to the whole human need to communicate. I mean, you can't just, you can scream at a television set, but there are fewer and fewer places. You can't have long conversations in church. The places where people gather are not really conducive to conversation, except taverns.
Yeah, I agree. And again, you know, particularly the ones where you can hear one another speak, and that's the kind of bar and tavern that I particularly find attractive now. You know, there was a time when the bar where the music was loudest and you could dance the fastest was my favorite, but now I'd rather sit in a place where...
And people like to see you dance, too. You mentioned that in here. If you when you buy this book, And These Are the Good Times, you can buy it anywhere books are sold, and that means bookstores and online, or at Patricia Ann McNair. I'll spell it. Patricia is Patricia, Ann is A-N-N, and McNair is MCNAIR.com. You will learn a great deal about this writer, teacher. There's another stunning, before we take a break, there's another stunning essay in here called, titled, I Am Not Afraid, which includes this, if I can read this. Yeah. I am not afraid. Despite having been slipped a Valium in my drink at a club by a man I was seeing when I was 21 and living in a small, safe city in Iowa, a man who was staying with me and who I was having sex with already, and had intended to have sex with again that night when we got back to his house after the club, so why did he think he needed to drug me? I never did ask him. Why didn't I ask him? That's just an astonishingly honest paragraph. When you write something like that, a visceral memory has to come to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it disturbing?
I think that the way that this essay is written, they kind of come fast and furious. And I was literally just writing it in my journal just to sort of sort it all out. And, you know, it was right after, a year ago when the Bushy tapes came out.
Yeah.
So I just was sort of sorting through my own memories of these sorts of things. And I hadn't intended really for it to be an essay, but ultimately the piling on of it seemed like something that I wanted to tell to other people. So I initially published it on my own blog, and then Hypertext, which is a
fine magazine,
picked it up.
Yeah, I think it's just powerful. And These Are the Good Times is the title of the book, the long subtitle, and I love the way our mutual publisher friend of Side Street Press, Dennis Foley, does this. A Chicago gal riffs on death, sex, life, dancing, writing, wonder, loneliness, place, family, faith, coffee, and the FBI, among other things.
I wouldn't quit you. I wouldn't quit you. I wouldn't quit you.
Gorky Siegel, everybody. I'll tell you where he's playing all this coming week. And These Are the Good Times by Patricia Ann McNair. Here's a bit of her philosophy from one of the essays. They're not long essays, but they're all to the point. And this is sort of out of context, but it's kind of a philosophy. She's looking at me like, huh, what? Death and sex and marriage and illness and marriage and death and love. Let's face it, that's about all there is. And some of us don't even get that much. That is so true. Truer words were never spoken.
Thank you.
Here you are on writing. One of the things I love about this book, Patty, is the forthright nature of your writing. I mean, you're a very honest writer. Do you feel that? Do you sense that? Is it hard to be that?
I don't think so. You know, when I first started to learn how to write, I didn't know any other way, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, we talked a little bit about journals, and I would never lie to my journal. And so when I would move forward from the journal to a story, it just seemed more interesting to follow the truth instead of or to just tell the truth as opposed to trying to make things seem better or more flowery.
And that's a lot of, too, the training one would get in the story method at Columbia.
Yes.
would lend itself to that kind of honesty. Here she is on writing. It is this moving from watching, gathering, storing away, to writing it down that changes things. What was real, what really happened, no longer matters, at least not to me. It is an interesting tension, this pull between observation and imagination, this balance of seeing it happen and making it happen, this place that is settled somewhere between what is real and what is imagined is where I come to do my work. This is where I live my storied life. That's pretty well put. I envy your students at Columbia if that is indeed the way you feel. Do you trust yourself? Do you trust your memory?
I don't.
Yeah,
yeah,
you can't.
I don't, yeah. I used to until I found myself so wrong on occasion that I thought, okay, I just have to go with it. This is the way I remember it. This is what I think happened. This what more important to me is what I made of what happened.
Well, and also, but what you remember does indeed become your reality.
Yes.
I think it's true of everybody, whether they're writers or not. What you remember becomes your reality, and sometimes it makes it easier to live.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have friends who are fiction writers, and they sometimes talk about how their memories now have gotten confused with their characters' memories, and I can totally understand that, too.
You've written short stories. Have you ever taken a stab at a novel?
I am working on a novel right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's it about? A dissipated radio jock who becomes a writer? Is set in Chicago?
Yeah. No, actually, it's set in the same fictional small town as my story collection, mm-hmm. which is a place called New Hope. And it's called Climbing the House of God Hill, and it's about a scandal between a 15-year-old girl and her father's friend.
Oh, it sounds great. I'm going to have Patty read. I'm going to devote an entire show in November to having local writers read portions of their work, and Patricia Ann McNair is the first person selected to join this experiment in modern radio, and I'm glad you will, and you can read anything you want. One of the, before I let you go, one of the for me, the most haunting stories in here is about your brother. I won't tell you all about Roger, but Roger is damaged in certain ways. I'm not going to throw this off. But Patricia writes here at the end of the story, and you have to read the entire story to get it, but you'll get part of it here. I cannot smother my sorrow. I regret deeply many things. I did not walk over to the nursing facility when Roger did not answer his phone. I did not, when I could have, help him live. But mostly this. At the bar on Division Street, when we were both drunk, I told Roger to shut up, to quit making so much noise, to settle down, to keep still. He looked at me, chastised, hurt. His eyes filled. "I'm just trying to have a good time," he said. "Just trying to have some fun." And I regret deeply, with great sorrow, that I tried to stop him from that. Now, that's his emotion. That almost brings tears to my eyes. I didn't know Roger. I mean, that is a very, very... You're just a really powerful writer. What can I tell you? There are much lighter moments in the book. Believe me, this book covers a lot of territory in what is and has been a richly detailed life, Patricia Ann McNair. I am sorry I have not met you sooner. I am incredibly pleased to have met you now.
Well, I'm glad to have met you.
And you're the first person in what we'll call Kogan Voices, or whatever we're going to call this strange experiment in November. You can go to patriciaannmcnair.com. The title of you can find the book there and her collection of short stories, which I ordered earlier today. The title of this book is "And These Are the Good Times." Patty, it's a pleasure to meet you. You're a great writer.
Rick, thank you, and thanks for putting your voice to my words.
My pleasure. You were born to write for me to read.
Thanks.
We'll be back after a couple.